Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The Senate is working this weekend on a more than $1 trillion bill designed to deal with the economic fallout of the coronavirus pandemic. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says all sides are very close to a bipartisan resolution. Earlier yesterday, President Trump spoke at the daily briefing on the government's response. NPR's Ron Elving has more.
I thought that the talk about matching up the supply and demand, that seemed to be something that probably should have happened a while ago. And I thought an awful lot of the things that the president cataloged right at the beginning, right at the top of the press conference, sounded like things we've been hearing about for several days now. So there was not a lot new from the standpoint of reassurance. There was not a lot new unless you feel that just having these briefings every day, essentially saying they're still trying to catch up, they're still trying to get on top of it, unless you think the briefings themselves are reassuring.
NPR's Ron Elving. Starting Thursday, Hawaii will require everyone entering that state to self-quarantine for 14 days. This will apply to returning residents as well as visitors. People under quarantine may only leave their homes or hotel rooms to seek medical care. The Food and Drug Administration has approved the first point-of-care diagnostic test for the virus. NPR's Joe Palca reports.
Until now, a healthcare worker would take a swab from the back of your nose and send it off to a lab, a public health lab, a commercial lab, a hospital lab, or a lab at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. The newly approved test kit still involves taking a nasal swab, but the test can be done in a doctor's office or clinic. The test uses an analyzer manufactured by a company called Cepheid. The company says test results can be ready in as little as 45 minutes. Cepheid says there are already 23,000 analyzers out there, and the coronavirus test kit will become available by the end of the month. Joe Palca, NPR News.
North Korea says President Trump wrote to its leader to offer help in fighting the virus. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports.
The Korean Central News Agency quotes leader Kim Jong-un's sister, Yo Jong, as saying that the letter is a sign of the good personal relations between her brother and President Trump. She praised Trump's, quote, good judgment and proper action, unquote, at a difficult time in the bilateral relationship. Kim Yo-jong added that Trump wrote that he was impressed by Kim Jong-un's efforts to defend his people from the virus and wants to improve relations with North Korea. The Associated Press quotes an anonymous U.S. official as confirming the letter. While other countries have had their hands full with the virus, Kim Jong-un is kept busy overseeing rocket and missile launches, the latest of which was on Saturday. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
This is NPR News. Police officials in Bangladesh say a truck ran into a passenger vehicle Saturday night, killing at least 13 people. The crash occurred in the southwestern part of the country, about 134 miles from the capital, Dhaka. Bangladesh has a high rate of fatal road accidents due to bad roads and lax enforcement of traffic laws. Country music legend Kenny Rogers has died at the age of 81. His family says he died Friday night of natural causes at his home in Georgia. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN reports.
In all, Kenny Rogers had 24 number ones, and it's hard not to hear them with new meaning.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
That's Lucille. There was also Lady and the Gambler. Storytelling was his specialty, but he also had a knack for duets. The upbeat hit Islands in the Stream with Dolly Parton would become his most famous.
Islands in the Stream, that is what we are.
And she became a close friend.
I know you're sad as I am, but God bless you, Kenny. Fly high.
Parton says she hopes Rogers is asking God to shine some light on the world in a dark time. His family is holding off on a public funeral for fans out of concern about spreading COVID-19. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
The Fox TV show The Resident is set in a fictional hospital in Atlanta where it's filmed. It's donating some of its props and costumes to a real-life hospital that's running out of masks, gowns, and gloves in fighting the virus. Another medical drama, Grey's Anatomy, is doing the same. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.